All right. Okay. Let's wrap it up here. It's always dangerous to get people like you talking. Because you love each other so much, you love people so much, you don't want to sit down and be quiet. And family, that's right. So when you introduced yourself, you gave your name, did you volunteer any other information about yourself, or did you ask questions? What kind of things?
Where are you from?
Where are you from? What else? What brought you here? What do you do? Anything else? About your family? Then do you normally introduce yourself like Dorothy? She just said that God loves you, that he's got it all under control, that you don't have to worry about anything. Do you normally introduce yourself that way? Dorothy might. Normally, we don't go into those details, right? My name, maybe your age, maybe your... One of the most prominent questions is, what do you do? All right? Well, I'm retired. Well, I teach school. Well, I am unemployed at the moment. Well, I am, you fill in the blank. And it is so easy to look at that question, what do you do, or here's what I do, as defining who we are. So today I want to talk about where we're from, how old you are, your family, your job, your hobbies, are not what define who you really are. And Dorothy just went to the shortcut and gave me the whole conclusion of my sermon. I left my iPad over here. I think she was reading ahead. Hello, my name is Barry. I can tell you're not in AA because no one said, hello, Barry. I'm 54. I'll be 55 in 3 days. Hint, hint. I'm the lead minister here at Cordova Community Church. I've been in that role for about 4 or 5 years. Before that, I was youth minister and worship leader at this church for 13 years. That's usually how I introduce myself. I was here at the Y yesterday, and one of the Y staff was introducing me to people. This is Barry. He didn't know how old it was. This is Barry. He's the minister of the church that meets here on Sundays here at the Y. Barry's also on the board at the YMCA, and that was the extent of his introduction. But do those people know who I am? Why is it important that we're talking about this and opening up this series with this question of introducing yourself and the details and what defines you and what doesn't define you? Here's why. Because I believe that your growth, your maturity, your meaning, your purpose, your significance, and your fulfillment is based on your understanding of who you are. You agree with that? If you have a really negative or a misconception of who you really are, that's going to change your trajectory in life. It's going to change how you feel about yourself and how you treat yourself. It's going to change so much. It's really important to know who you are. And I'm hoping through this series that we're going to peel away the layers of who we think we are, or who people say we are, or who people, you know, people put labels on people, right? We put labels on people. We put labels on ourselves. I want to peel those labels away and get down to who we really are. Some of you are in high school and college. Man, that is the most confusing time. And some of us who are older can look back and go, I'm glad I'm done with that part of my life. Actually, I really enjoyed high school and college. In high school, I knew who I was, and everybody else knew who I was. I was a band geek and a choir nerd. But I was so glad I was not one of those drama weirdos. The people in the drama department, now they were weird, okay? Right, Grayson? They were weird, you know. I was so glad I wasn't one of them. secretly, I wanted to be over here in the jock area. I really, because they were the most popular in the whole school, right? The cheerleaders and by the way, I married a cheerleader. I pretty well had my identity set. My labels, actually. I had my labels set. But I was really confused about who I was and what difference that made and what direction I was going in my life. And probably you experienced the same thing in your younger years, or maybe you're experiencing it now. But in those younger years, you know, we're trying different types of music. We're trying different fashions, different friends and circles of influence, different ways of self-expression, right? Trying to figure out who, it's all about finding out who we are and letting our friends and people know, this is who I am. And we're all, no matter your age, we're all on a journey to find ourselves. It could be that you're in your 40s or 50s and you're still looking for yourself. And maybe you're going through a midlife crisis, right? You're looking back at your life and you're wondering, have I made a difference? Have I been on the right trajectory all these years? Do I need to make a change? Do I need a career change? Do I need to sell my Toyota Corolla and buy a Harley? Do I need implants? Do I need a boob job? I can't say that, can I? It's out now. I just said it. Because really, how we see ourselves and how we think other people see us really affects how we operate and how we live. And if we see ourselves with a negative body image, I'm too fat, I'm too skinny, I'm too whatever, then that is going to change how we operate and how we are motivated. Some of you may have a negative body image, and maybe you've gone to the point of suffering from anorexia or bulimia. Because you don't know who you are. You've misidentified yourself as someone who's fat or someone who's ugly. That's not who you are. Maybe you're retired and you're going, what do I do now? Up to now, I knew what I was about. I stayed busy. I stayed busy at work. But now I'm retired. What do I do now? How can I make a difference now? Maybe you look at your adult children, and your adult children have made some really not very wise decisions. It's easy for you to doubt your own parenting skills for all those years. Did I really raise my kids the way I was supposed to? What did I do wrong? Honey, what did we do wrong? Maybe I wasn't a good parent after all. Maybe your parents... Maybe you grew up in an alcoholic or parents who were addicts. And maybe you've suffered that. Maybe there's a lot of codependency in your life in the past, and it's coming out now. It's all about recognizing who you are. All these things are related. Maybe you have suffered some kind of abuse in your past, physical abuse, sexual abuse. And that can define who you are if you let it. Is that who you really are? Man, Satan plays mind games with us, doesn't he? And he plays mind games with us. He tells us we're not worth anything. That we're just a total mess, a total screw up. That we'll never amount to anything. And some of those words we're hearing in our mind from Satan are the same words our parents spoke to us. Or teachers or coaches. It is so important to know who we really are. Do you know who you really are? Maybe you're 54 and you'll be 55 in 3 days. You look at your 18-month-year-old and your 3-year-old who are just little germ factories. And they keep bringing sinus infections into your house and stomach viruses into your house, and everybody's getting sick, and it just rotates over and over and over again. And then if you have 1 or 2 days of nobody sick and no fever, you're just overjoyed with joy. And you want to cry tears of joy, but you can't because you're so dehydrated from throwing up all week. Maybe that's, oh, wait, that's me. Sorry, I got off track. I didn't. Thank you for letting me vent. Our life circumstances often compound the confusion about who we are. Would you agree? Life circumstances compound the confusion about who we really are. And so what do? We often try to find ourselves, rediscover meaning by getting really busy. And we take on a plethora of activities, whether that's work, whether that's doing good works, serving, whether that's hobbies, whether it's enrolling our kids in as many sports activities as they can handle and even more than they can handle, and running them around town the whole time and trying to juggle all these things because we want our lives to make a difference, don't we? As parents, we want to make a difference in our lives, a positive influence in our life, on our children's lives. At work, we want to be productive. We want to contribute to the cause. We want to serve and do good things for our community. And so it's so easy to pile on all these things in an effort to find our true meaning. But a lot of times we get lost even further in all these things. Does that make sense? So for some of us, the temptation is to be overworked and over-involved. For some others of us, it's not the temptation to be overworked and over-involved where our identity, the search of our identity, gets kind of confused. It's in relationships. Some of us try to find ourselves. I'm make sure everybody's paying attention, especially our young people, college, high schoolers. Listen. Some of you are searching for yourselves through other people and your relationship with other people. And you think by finding someone to love, you will find who you are and you'll find meaning in your true identity. And so what do? You are on a continual quest. And if you're single, listen to me. You're on a continual quest to find that person. And so what do? You think you find the right person, and so you give yourself to that person in more ways than one. You just give everything to that person, and then there's a breakup. What does that do to your identity and your self-awareness of who you think you are? It destroys it. You're putting everything in that person, in that relationship. That's where you're putting all your energy. This person. You're chasing after this person. You're spending time and all your time with this person. And it's kind of shaping. It does shape who you are or how you see yourself. But I want to say that our true identity is not found in what we do or who we're with. Yes? I think those are the two biggest ways we confuse our identity. But there are others we want to talk about today. Even the wisest man that ever lived struggled with this very same thing. Solomon, King Solomon, struggled with this, of finding meaning for his life. And we're going to look at a few verses out of the book of Ecclesiastes this morning. We're going to look at some verses out of chapter 1. Then we'll go to chapter 2. We're going to look at some verses in chapter 2. And then we're going to look at his last chapter, chapter 12 in Ecclesiastes, and kind of come to see what his conclusion was. But you will see, as we read this, some of the exact same things that you and I struggle with when it comes to trying to figure out what's our purpose? What's the meaning of life? Who am I, and how do I fit in to this life? So let's dig into the word here. I applied my mind to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under the heavens. Now, see that phrase, under the heavens? You might want to underline that in your Bible. Under the heavens is another. He also says under the sun. There's two phrases that keep popping up in Ecclesiastes that is key to understanding what he's talking about. And I'll come back there in a minute, okay? So, I applied my mind to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under the heavens. What a heavy burden God has laid on mankind. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. There it is again. All of them are what? Meaningless. A chasing after the wind. What is crooked cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted. Pretty depressing message so far. Everything is under the sun is meaningless. It can't be straightened. It can't be helped. It's lacking. We are stuck with it, is what he's saying. Let's keep going. Verse 16. I said to myself, look, I have increased in wisdom and more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I have experienced much wisdom and knowledge. But then I applied myself. So he said, I'm going to go on a little experimental journey, is what he's saying, right? I've got this knowledge. I got this wisdom. I just want to do an experiment, a life experiment. So he says, then I applied myself to the understanding of wisdom and also of madness and folly. But I learned this too. This too is a chasing after the wind. For with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief. Now let's just pause there. You can circle the word knowledge. The more knowledge, the more grief. Some of us try to find ourselves and search our true identity by knowledge. If we just learn more about this or this or this, if we study harder in school, if we make straight A's, we just need the knowledge. That's what we need. We need more knowledge. We need more facts. And some people even approach the Bible this way. If they know the facts of the Bible, if they can memorize the books of the Bibles in the right order, and they know all 12 apostles' names, right? And they just memorize facts and figures and dates in the Bible. Kind of like as a kid, we never did this as a kid, but maybe you did. Bible Bowl, you know. I love Bible Bowl. As an adult, I helped kids prepare for Bible Bowl. And we got a specific book of the Bible to study. But you know what? It was mainly minutia. How many heads of cattle did whatever, you know? How many wives did Solomon have? Who cares? It doesn't mean anything. It's meaningless. It's a good way to get the kids into the Bible, right? And on their level of understanding, it works. They're in the Word. And on their level, on their concrete level, because that's what kids have concrete thinking, that it works. But in the end, it's not about knowledge. It's not about numbers and dates and facts and people's names. It's about a relationship, about knowing Jesus. But I'm getting ahead of myself. All right, just keep going. We're going to skip to chapter 2. Verses 1 through 11. I said to myself, do you ever talk to yourself? I do. Often out loud. My 3-year-old's starting to do this. So we were learning a new parenting technique. Those of you who are parents a long time, you already know this, but, you know, we're kind of slow. We're old and slow. So instead of saying, go do this, we're supposed to give Emma an option. Emma, you can either have a banana or have an apple. But those are your two choices. You need to choose. Instead of saying, eat your banana now. Okay? Because there's a little rebellion there, right? That's going to rear up. Your kids have that rebellious streak in them? Okay. So make sure I just wasn't doing something wrong here. And so we're starting to give them these choices, either this or this, right? And so I've caught her just kind of sitting by herself, and she's talking to herself. And she's giving herself those choices again out loud. Okay, and she's already, this is maybe an hour later. Okay, you want to go outside or you want to play with dollhouse? Dollhouse, okay. It's so cute, but she's talking to herself. The wisest man in the world talked to himself. That doesn't mean you're crazy if you talk to yourself. In fact, as we go through this series, I'm going to really encourage you to talk to yourself. Out loud, even. We'll get to more of that later. I said to myself, come now, self. I will test you with what? Pleasure. To find out what is good. Okay, so here's one avenue. He's going to search for meaning. He's going to search for identity through pleasure. This is the richest guy around. Anything off limits for this guy? No. When he says, I'm going to test myself with pleasure, everything is available. And this is a life experiment for him. So he's going to search everything and see what works, see what gives him pleasure, what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Man, that didn't work. Verse 2. Laughter. Yeah, that's it. Laughter, I said. But it's madness. What good does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly. Those two a lot of times go together, don't they? Yeah, I'm just, you know what? Liquor. Man, I could. He's not saying don't drink. I'm not saying don't drink. He's trying to lose himself in these things so he can find himself. Ooh, did you hear that? He's trying to lose himself in these things so that he can find himself. You could write that down if you want to. He's trying to lose himself in pleasure so he can find himself. He's trying to lose himself in laughter or in wine so he can find himself. And in folly. My mind's still guiding me with wisdom all along. He said, this is a life experiment. Okay, I'm just checking these things out. I'm using my wisdom to see what works and what doesn't work. I wanted to see what was good for people to do what? Under the heavens during the few days of their lives. So he says, I tried these fun things, these entertainment things, these folly, this wine, this pleasure. That didn't work. So I poured myself into something else. And some of you can relate more to this maybe than the last paragraph. I don't know. Verse 4. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself. And I planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks. And planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves. Now, hopefully no one's doing that. But this is all about status and power, right? I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. Translated into modern-day language, I owned more Porsches. I owned more mutual funds. I owned, you fill in the blank, than anyone before me. Verse 8. I amassed silver and gold for myself, and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired male and female singers. So it's also music, right? Music has a lot of meaning to it. And a lot of us think we find our identity in the expression of the music that we like and that we choose. Well, Solomon even tried that. He hired male and female singers. And he even had a harem of women as well. The delights of a man's heart. So here's the man who has everything he could ever want. Not just a wife, but he has the best looking, hottest women in the whole country in his harem. He doesn't have to take no for an answer ever. He doesn't have to hear, I have a headache tonight, honey, ever. Verse 9. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself what? Nothing. Nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor. And this was the reward for all my toil. Yet. That's a three-letter word, but it's big. Yet. When I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. So about four times that phrase under the heaven or under the sun has been used so far in just these verses we looked at today. So you got to know that reading through Ecclesiastes, he's talking about life on earth removed from God's influence. That's what under the sun, things that are temporary, things that are fleeting. God is above, right? God is above. When we disconnect from God, then we are going to lose our meaning. I think one of the main reasons, and this is kind of the premise of this whole series. Everyone asks, who am I? At some point, you ask that. Probably several different points in your life. Who am I really? What is the meaning of my life? What is my true identity? And I think the confusion is directly related to confusion about who God is and our relationship with God. Confusion about our true identity is often because we are confused about who God is and what is our relationship with this God. And when we separate and we try to find meaning under the sun, Solomon says, I've tried it. It's meaningless. It's like trying to chase the wind. So I don't know if you could relate to some of those things. Maybe you just picked out one of Solomon's list and said, yeah, I kind of labor, you know, building projects. I keep busy at work. I keep busy in my yard. I keep busy and I'm busy, busy, busy. And I'm pouring all my energy into this. Or maybe it's a harem, right? Maybe it's relationships. You are into relationships and you chase after relationships to find meaning. Maybe it's just living life and being just, you know, carefree and seeking pleasure. Let's get to Solomon's conclusion in chapter 12. He says this. I just picked out a couple of verses from chapter 12. In the end, here's what we need to do. Remember our Creator in the days of our youth. That's about a relationship with God. Under the sun, life under the sun has to be connected. In all that we do, we remember the Creator. We are connected with God, and we involve Him. We want to follow Him. Then he says, now all has been heard, and here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God. Now, most of you know what fear God means when you read that in the Old Testament. It's not about being scared and running and hiding under your bed. It's about a powerful respect for the awesomeness, the magnificence of our God, the Creator. It's holding Him in high esteem, lifting Him up above everything in your life. That is the definition of fearing God. So he says, here, in the end, I've done all this, you know, this experiment on life. Here's what I found. You got to remember God, have a relationship with Him. Fear God and His awesomeness, and do what? Keep His commandments. For this is what life is all about. This is what life is. This is the duty of mankind. This is what life is really about. Connected to your God and listening and following your God. Trusting God and following God. That's it. That's where meaning is found. This video I'm going to show, hopefully it's going to work, is an expression of this idea of meaninglessness in life. And make sure the sound's up.
It's always been the same. I stop. I look. I dream. But I don't take the step. History tells us that in times of war, many commanders have given their prisoners the task of digging huge holes and moving the dirt in sacks across the camp, then dumping that dirt out in a huge pile. Weeks of digging, moving dirt, hauling soil. And sometimes, just as the hole was dug, as the prisoners could muster some sense of accomplishment, some hint of purpose, the commander would order the prisoners to move the dirt back and fill in the hole they just dug. The epitome of meaningless work. I know I'm not in a prison camp. Right now, my life feels like that. Work, buy, impress, whatever it is that day, I'm not actually accomplishing anything. I have no purpose. I am just digging, moving dirt, making a pile of what? I stop, I look, I dream of something more. It's always been the same, but not today. Today, I take the step. Today, I become more. Today, I realize I've made myself a prisoner. Today, I decide my status does not give me purpose. Today, I decide to love God rather than money. Today, I decide to pursue my Creator rather than success. Today, I return to my Father. Everything else is meaningless.
I love how he made a decision, and he acted on it, and then he left it. He just walked away. He left the shovel and the pit there. He came to realization, this is not working. This is, like Solomon, this is meaningless. There's another guy that kind of came to the same conclusion in the New Testament, and that is Paul. And I want to look at Philippians chapter 3. It's not on the screen. If you want to turn there, that's great. I'm going to read it. Listen to some of the similarities. This is 1,000 years apart between Solomon and Paul. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. He says, watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, the people who mutilate the flesh. He's warning about the false teachers. And he says in verse 3, for it is we who are the circumcised, we of the circumcision. In other words, the Jews, right? It is we Jewish believers who believe in Christ. We are the ones who serve God by His Spirit, and we boast in Christ Jesus. We put no confidence in the flesh. Would you say, no confidence in the flesh? Verse 4. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence. Okay, if anybody has bragging rights, Paul says, it's me. If someone thinks they have reasons to put their confidence in the flesh, I have more. And he starts to list things in his past, in his pedigree that define has up to this point have defined who he is. Okay? He says, I was circumcised on the eighth day. That's the way you're supposed to do it if you're a Jewish man. I am of the people of Israel. Not only that, I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, I'm a Pharisee. In other words, I keep the law of God to the, every dot, every I, and I cross every T. I've got reason to brag. As for zeal in verse 6, persecuting the church, I went after those Christians, those blasphemers. As for righteousness based on the law, I was flawless. Paul says, I have an identity. And I used to rely on this identity as a man of God who did everything right. Verse 7. But whatever were gains to me, all those positive things I just listed, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all those things that I once put my hope in. I consider them garbage. And the Greek actually says there, I consider them dung. I consider them garbage or dung, that so that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. That's where I thought my righteousness used to come from, was from the law. Not that, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes. To know the power of His resurrection, participation in His sufferings, to become like Him in His death, and so somehow attain the resurrection of the dead. Paul's saying, I thought I knew who I was before. I was a Pharisee. I was a Jewish man who did everything. I was flawless. I kept the law. I was righteous in all that I did. I was above blame. No one could blame anything on me. I did everything right, and that's where I used to put my identity. He said, but then I came to know Jesus. I came to know Jesus as God, and all that stuff that I put so much pride in for so long that identified me, and you know what? That's a bunch of poo compared to who I really am, compared to my true identity. Of knowing Jesus, Solomon and Paul found out that it's useless to search for meaning and purpose. It's useless to search for your true identity, who you are, anywhere else other than in God. Everything else is chasing after the wind. It's meaningless. Relationships, entertainment, fun, hobbies, career, status, busyness of activities, philanthropic involvement, money, gold, silver, treasures, knowledge, they're meaningless. All these things, when pursued under the sun to find ourselves and to find our meaning, separate and apart from God, are just meaningless. And compared to knowing Christ and your true identity, they are dung. These are not the places we need to be looking to find ourselves, and yet those are the exact places people go to find themselves. Those are the exact places where we go to find our meaning. Am I wrong? Come on, am I wrong? That's where we go to find our meaning, and those things are meaningless. We look for our true identity to find ourselves in those things. We get lost in those things in order to find ourselves. But we're not finding ourselves. We're just lost. We don't find our identity in power. We don't find our true identity in people. We don't find our true identity in our possessions. We don't find true identity in our pleasure. We don't find it in pomp. We don't find it in our projects that we take on. We don't find our true identity in our pedigree. We don't find it in our past. We find it only in knowing Jesus. The premise for this whole series is this. Everyone asks at some time or another, who am I? And we're all looking for who we really are. We're looking for meaning in this life. In every phase of life, that question keeps popping up. Middle school, high school, college, young adult, parents, mature seniors, retirement, losing a spouse, losing a kid. It keeps coming up. It keeps coming up over and over again. So here's what I believe. The confusion over who you are is directly related to your confusion of who God is and your relationship with God. I'm going to say that so many times in the next several weeks, you're going to get really tired of it. Everything else is garbage. It's meaningless. So my question for you is, who are you? Do you know who you are? Do you know who God says you are? It's my prayer that over these series of weeks, we're all going to come to a better understanding of who we are in Christ. Maybe you feel like you're in that pit with a shovel right now, and you're digging and you're digging. You're not getting anywhere. It just seems mundane. It's the same thing over and over again. And you're searching in the wrong places to find out who you are and your true meaning. Like that guy in the video, make a decision. Make a decision today. This is not working. And reach out and grab the hand of God and let him pull you out. And you and he can walk away together and leave that shovel and leave that pit behind. Why not today? We're going to stand and sing a song, and folks are going to be up here to receive us and pray with us. Some of our shepherds could come on up. That'd be awesome. Let's stand together. God, we thank you for Jesus and that we can find our true selves in him. And I pray, Lord, that you take away the blinders. And it is so easy for us to get over involved in so many good activities that we miss out on what's best. Open our eyes to what you want us to do. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.